John chapter 10 as we continue our study of the fourth gospel. This morning we come to chapter 10, and once again it's a rather large section of scripture, and yet one that holds together. So we'll take the chapter in its entirety this morning. We're not going to be able to spend a lot of time going into great detail on this passage, but I trust as we turn our attention to it this morning, we'll be greatly encouraged by God's word to us. John chapter 10, I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through this wonderful passage together this morning. Dear friends, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full and undivided attention to it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If you called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last Lord's Day in John 9, we read the story of Jesus healing a man who had been born blind. And that story showed to us the great contrast between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you remember, accused the blind man of his sin. Jesus saved him from his sin. The Pharisees preached the law at the blind man. Jesus proclaimed the gospel to him. The Pharisees demeaned the blind man. Jesus came and lifted him up. The Pharisees cast the blind man out of the synagogue. Jesus went and found him. The Pharisees scattered the sheep. Jesus gathered him. And so John 10 picks up right where John 9 left off. At the end of John 9, you may recall, the Pharisees asked Jesus this question, "Are we also blind?" This was a rhetorical question. The Pharisees certainly expected Jesus to answer them in the negative, saying to them, "Of course you're not blind. You're the religious leaders after all. You're the elite of the Jews." How stunned they must have been when Jesus didn't respond in the way they expected. Jesus invoked the imagery of the shepherd and his sheep to show them just how blind they had become. And that's where our text picks up this morning. As we look at this great theme of the shepherd and his sheep, we'll see two wonderful points this morning. First, the commitment of the shepherd. And then secondly, the safety of the sheep. In verses 1 through 6, Jesus uses the figure of a shepherd and his sheep. In New Testament times, shepherds would lead and guide their sheep by day to feed them in green pastures, to make them lie down beside still waters. But when night came, the shepherd would bring his sheep to the sheepfold. And he would bring the sheep there to the sheepfold for their protection and for their safety. Now, a sheepfold was a walled structure. The wall was usually about waist high or perhaps just a little bit taller than that. And that sheepfold, that walled structure, had only one opening, one doorway through which all the sheep had to pass. And in that one doorway, through the dark hours of the night, the shepherd would sit. He would literally sit right in the doorway, and by his presence there, he would keep the sheep in the fold and would keep the wolves out of the fold. Sometimes a sheepfold would be shared by more than one shepherd, by more than one flock. And in those cases, the shepherds would come together and they would hire a gatekeeper to sit in the doorway. And that gatekeeper, knowing that he was in the service of the shepherds, would open the door, would remove himself from the gate only for the shepherds to enter in and for none others. And as the sheep were mixed up there within the sheepfold, when the time came for a shepherd to lead his sheep out, the only way in which he could do that, gathering only his own sheep, but none others, was to call them by name. The shepherd knew his sheep by name. And he would call them and lead them out. And the sheep, on their part, would follow their shepherd because they knew the voice of their shepherd's voice, and they would follow him. They wouldn't listen to the voice of a stranger. They would flee from strangers. but they would follow the voice of their shepherd. In all of this, of course, there was but one way in and out of the sheepfold, and that was through the doorway. And Jesus says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but has climbed in some other way, such a person is a thief and a robber. He is no shepherd. And so the sheep do not follow them. Now, we need to stop a moment and ask ourselves, why does Jesus use this figure of the sheep, of the shepherd and his sheep here in John 10? Well, remember what he has just said and what has just happened in John chapter 9. The Pharisees, called to be the under-shepherds of the good shepherd, the Pharisees have just cast out the blind man. They have scattered the sheep. They didn't show him mercy. They didn't show him grace. They didn't rejoice in his healing. They didn't proclaim the gospel to him. They didn't point him to Jesus. To put it quite simply, the Pharisees in John chapter 9 have proven that they are thieves and robbers. They cast out a sheep of the good shepherd. And so Jesus uses this figure of speech to awaken them to the seriousness of their sin. Perhaps that figure of speech doesn't resonate all that much with you and me living today in the year 2022, but it would have resonated, or it should have resonated, with those leaders there in Jerusalem living in Jesus' day. Because, you see, there is an Old Testament text that is at the background of all that's happening here in John chapter 10. And that text is Ezekiel chapter 34. If you have your Bibles open yet, turn back there to Ezekiel 34. The entirety of Ezekiel 34 really deals with this theme of the shepherd and his sheep. Let me read with you just a few verses, the opening verses of Ezekiel 34. And keep these words in mind as we continue to look at John chapter 10. These would have been words that were very much known to the Jewish leaders, even as Jesus spoke to them in John 10. Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered. Because there was no shepherd, they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pastures they shall feed under the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Well, the passage goes on at some length, but you understand then what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here in John 10, against the background of Ezekiel 34, he is saying to them in no uncertain terms, you are the false shepherds against whom judgment is coming. Well, the Pharisees didn't understand this, verse 6. They remained blind to their own blindness. And see, so Jesus goes on to apply the words of Ezekiel 34 in even more stark terms. Look at verses 7 through 10, where Jesus proclaims, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus identifies himself here not only as the great God, taking the divine name upon his lips, declaring once again in John's gospel, I am. But he proclaims himself to be the door. The door of the sheepfold. The one who quite literally sits in that doorway and guarantees the safety of his sheep. The Pharisees are not. They are thieves. They are robbers. The sheep don't listen to them. Remember the blind man in John 9. He didn't listen to those false shepherds. Indeed, he challenged them. You see, it's in Jesus alone that there is truly salvation. In Him alone are there truly green pastures. He is the bread of life. He is the fount of living water, and His sheep must feed upon Him. What a contrast to the Pharisees. These Pharisees who in chapter 9 have proven themselves to be against Christ, who have proven themselves to be anti-Christ, who have proven themselves to be false shepherds, to be shepherds of Satan. They wanted to cast people away from Christ. They had come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. What a contrast to Jesus, who has come that his sheep may have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus goes on to make that point so beautifully in verses 11 and following, where he proclaims himself, I am the good shepherd. Literally in the Greek it says, I am the shepherd, the good one. What a beautiful statement from the lips of Jesus. Again, taking upon his lips the divine name, proclaiming that he is God. But he proclaims not only that he is God, but that he is good. He is a shepherd to his people, and he is there for their good. He contrasts this with a hired hand. He says a hired hand does not own the sheep, and so when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep. He flees. He wants to save his own life. He doesn't care for the sheep. But not so with Jesus. Jesus cares for his sheep, and he protects his sheep from the wolves. When the wolves come, he doesn't flee. He puts himself in the place of his sheep and defends his sheep. He knows his sheep, he says, just as the Father knows him and he knows the Father. What a precious statement that is for us as the sheep of the Good Shepherd. If you're a believer in Christ, your Savior knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything about you. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses. He knows your successes, your failures. He knows your victories. He knows your failures. He knows your sin. He knows your shame. And He still says, I'm your shepherd. And He still says to you today, I have loved you. And I love you still. He says, I am the shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Not just for the beautiful ones, but for the ugly ones. Not just for the pure ones, but for the ones who have stained themselves and dirtied their coats. Not just for the ones who have been in the sheepfold all the days of their lives, but for the ones who have strayed and who have wandered and have gotten lost. He lays down His life for every last one of His sheep. He gathers His sheep. He's the good shepherd who will leave the 99 to go out and seek and save the one that is lost, to deliver it from danger and from peril. And He picks that sheep up and carries that sheep on His shoulders and brings the sheep back safely to the fold. He is a shepherd who speaks tenderly to His sheep, calling them all by name. Think about that, dear friends. Your Savior knows your name. He calls you by name. He summons you by name. He says, you're mine. I've redeemed you. And I'm with you. And in those times when I call you to walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And when I call you to walk through the waters shall not overflow you, for I'm with you, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then He repeats the words there again, that He lays down His life for the sheep, and He takes His life back up again for the sheep. And what is Jesus saying there? He's saying, my death is for my sheep. My resurrection is for my sheep. What I'm doing there on the cross is for you. What I'm doing there as I rise up from the dead is for you. Well, after Jesus speaks these wonderful words of the gospel, pointing the Jews to His death and His resurrection, what happens? It brings about yet another division, verses 19 through 21. Jesus has just proclaimed His love for His sheep. He's proclaimed His death and His resurrection. And how do many of the Pharisees respond? They respond by saying, well, He has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to Him? Why hear Him? And by this declaration, they prove that they will not hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. They're not sheep of His fold, so they do not listen to Him. Others are not so sure, verse 21. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, this division only angers the Jews more. And so what do we find the Jews doing in the verses that follow? We find them gathering like wolves around the shepherd to devour them, to devour him. Not enough for them to destroy the sheep, to cast out this sheep from the sheepfold. They also want to take down the shepherd. We see that in verses 22 through 30. In these verses, Jesus proclaims His dedication to His sheep. And notice that He does so against the background of another Jewish feast, verse 22, the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication is a feast still celebrated by Jews all around the world today. It's a feast known to us in our day as Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. It's interesting that John mentions it here because the Feast of Dedication does not appear in the Old Testament. It was not one of the great feasts of the Old Testament. So where did this feast come from? Well, in the year 167 BC, a Syrian king by the name of Antiochus seized Jerusalem. It wasn't enough for him just to defeat the Jews. He also wanted to mock them, to ridicule them, to belittle them, to demean them. And so as he came to Jerusalem, he called himself Antiochus Epiphanes. The name Epiphanes literally means God manifest. Antiochus was coming to Jerusalem and saying to the Jews, I'm God. And then he proceeded to make a mockery of the Jews and their religion. When he sees Jerusalem, he himself, this Gentile, this pagan, this blasphemous king, entered into the most holy and sacred place of the Jews. He went into the Holy of Holies. And do you know what he did there? He took a pig, an unclean animal, and he slaughtered it there in the Holy of Holies. And he took the blood of that pig and he sprinkled it upon the Jewish scriptures, intentionally seeking to defile all that was holy to the Jews. And he forbade the Jews to worship. He would not allow them into the temple, would not allow them to carry out their religious sacrifices and ceremonies. He forbade them to worship the one true God. And he made a decree that anyone who possessed any part of the Hebrew Scriptures was to be put to death. These were certainly dark and difficult days for the Jews living in Jerusalem. But then a small band of Jews led by a man named Judas Maccabeus gathered together a number of rebels, a number of Jews, and they revolted against Antiochus and after 3 long years finally defeated him. And when they defeated him, they drove him out of the land, and Judas Maccabeus then proceeded to rededicate. He cleansed the temple and rededicated the temple. That was in the year 164 BC, and it was decreed then by the Jewish authorities that a feast of dedication should be held every year. Lamps were lit and burned in the temple once again. It's why it was called a festival of lights. And every year, and at the feast of Hanukkah, the Jews rejoice and they celebrate this glorious liberation and this glorious dedication. Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, what John calls here the Feast of Dedication, is still celebrated by Jews around the world. You can go to Google Calendars and see that it's on the calendar every year, usually early to mid-December, this Feast of Hanukkah, this Feast of Dedication. In this feast, the Jews celebrate the dedication of the temple to God. Why does John mention that here? Well, he mentions it here because he wants to point us to a far greater dedication. Not our dedication of a temple to God, but of God's dedication to us in Christ. And that's what we see going on in the verses that follow in our text. We see something of the level of Jesus' dedication to His sheep. In these verses, the Jews gather around Jesus as He walks in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, and John mentions it's winter. But you see, there's a coldness that is colder than the temperatures of winter. And that's the coldness of their hearts. And there's a darkness that is darker than the darkness of winter, and that's the darkness of their souls. Because the Jews here are gathering around Jesus, not as sheep who hear the voice of the good shepherd, but the Jews are gathering here around Jesus like so many wolves gathering to tear down the shepherd. They mean to devour Him. And so Jesus makes very clear to them in these verses, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. How important those words would become to disciples after the death of Jesus. To remember that Jesus was not some passive victim, that He was brought down against His own will, but that what Jesus was doing in His death and resurrection, He was doing in the fullness of His own authority. He willingly laid down His life for the sheep. He willingly took up His life again for the sheep. He said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. These wolves, of course, are not listening. And so they declare Jesus demon-possessed, insane. They don't hear Him. But Jesus' sheep hear Him. They hear His voice. and they rejoice in Jesus' dedication to his sheep. We don't have the time to go into all these verses, but just look with me a moment at a sampling of them. Verses 28 through 30. Look what Jesus says concerning his dedication to his sheep, a dedication that results in the safety of his sheep. He says, I give my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus gives a gift to his sheep. He gives them eternal life. We'll see this powerfully illustrated next Lord's Day in John 11, where Jesus raises one of his sheep from the dead. Jesus' sheep will never perish. Jesus says, no one will snatch my sheep out of my hand. My Father has given the sheep to me, and the Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Again, what a comfort this is to us. Dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are held in the hand of the Good Shepherd. You're held in Jesus' hand, and he says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. And then he goes on to say that you are also in the hand of the Father, and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And then he says in verse 30, I and the Father are one. You are held in the hand of Jesus. Jesus' hand is held in the hand of the Father. You are doubly enfolded in the hands of the living God. You see, it's not just that Jesus is dedicated and committed to you and to your salvation, but the Father is as well. What is Jesus saying to us here? He is saying that God is a shepherd to his people. You are secure. Dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, you are secure not because of your hold on God, but because of God's hold on you. He will hold you fast and will never, never let you go. We'll look at the Jews' response to Jesus' dedication, verse 31. Their response is murder, which makes Jesus' response to them all the more amazing. Verses 32 through 38, where he calls them to believe. They accuse him of being a man and making himself God. They couldn't have gotten it more wrong. He's not a man making himself God. He's God who made himself man for our salvation. And so he calls even these Jewish leaders to believe, and if they don't believe him, to at least believe the works that he has done. And you think about the works he has done in this gospel, healing a blind man, healing a lame man, healing a young boy. These were all gifts and works done for people in need. And Jesus knows the needs of these religious leaders, and so he offers the gospel to them. Think about that. He offers the gospel to wolves. Well, the Jews respond by seeking again to arrest him, verse 39. And Jesus escapes from their hands. They could not take his life from him. He would lay it down only of his own accord. That brings us to the end of our passage, verses 40 through 42, where we find Jesus leaving Jerusalem. Salvation is not to be found there. It's become very dark in Jerusalem, very dark in the temple, very dark among the Jews. While they would gladly celebrate their dedication to God and the works of their hands, look at what they've rejected. They've rejected God's dedication to sinners. They've rejected the work of God's hands. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And yet, praise God, there were those who by His grace did. Verse 42. So what is John 10 all about as we step back and look at this entire chapter? It's about this wonderful truth. The Good Shepherd has come to seek and to save His sheep. And He's still doing that. He is still in the business of seeking and saving sinners like you and me. How does He seek and save? How does He speak to His sheep? Well, He speaks to us and He saves us by His gospel. The gospel is the voice of the Good Shepherd spoken to sinners like you and me. This is the word of the Good Shepherd. He calls us here not on some feast of dedication, but on the Lord's Day, a day in which He proclaims to us His dedication to us. And you see it already at the very opening words of our worship services together, where our Good Shepherd greets us with words of grace and mercy and peace. He doesn't assemble us here and say, well, I know how much you've strayed in the past week. I know what a defiled sheep you've become, how dirty and sully you've become. Therefore, get away from me. You have no place here. That's not what He says at all. He says, come. And He says, grace to you. It's the voice of your Good Shepherd you hear when He announces to you and proclaims to you pardon for your sin. It's Him saying to you, I've loved you, and I love you still. And then He proclaims His gospel to us in the ministry of His word, pointing us again to what He has done for us, pointing us to His blood and His righteousness, to His death and His resurrection, to the fact that He is for us. And then before we depart, our shepherd speaks to us yet again and says, as you leave this place of worship, you leave not under a sentence of condemnation. You leave not having to work for your salvation, but you leave under a word of grace, under a word of mercy, that you may go forth in the full knowledge that you are a sheep of the Good Shepherd. And that no matter what comes in this day or in the week ahead, you are still held in His hand. Still held in the hand of your Heavenly Father. And He will not let you go. You see what Jesus is doing Lord's Day after Lord's Day. He's proclaiming to you His dedication to you and your safety in Him. What better place to be than in the hands of a Good Shepherd? The Shepherd who did what the Pharisees would never do. The Shepherd who became a lamb for sheep like you and me. A number of years ago, a classmate of mine from seminary wrote a beautiful poem based on Psalm 23, based on John 10, and this beautiful picture of the Good Shepherd. I'd like to close with it this morning. It's a beautiful and comforting poem, and it goes like this. The shepherd is my lamb. He tasted my want. He lay down in the wilderness. He endured the judgment storm waters. He relinquished his soul. He was nailed to a cursed cross for my sinful name's sake. Yea, though He walked through the valley of the shadow of death, He took upon my sin alone under wrath. With the rod and the scourge they beat Him, and He was made to hunger and thirst in the presence of His enemies. His head mocked and crowned.